Hello, and welcome back. Today, we're reading chapter 6 of my book I wrote back in the day. So let's just get into it. Coincidences aren't real. From a religious paradigm, people believe that God puts events into lives for reasons unbeknownst to us humans. But to me, I just think the universe isn't that lazy. I remember once, when I was little, a brown cat wound up in our yard. When we tried to find out whose it was, we always ended up unsuccessful. But after about a week, we bumped into a man who was, in fact, trying to find that very same cat. The man turned out to be the local dentist, and after a bit of discussion, he got my mother a job as a dental hygienist. Well, needless to say, my mom worked a lot. And when I opened the front door, only to find an empty house, I realized something. If I hadn't stumbled across that cat, my mom would be home, and I'd be able to give that speech I've been preparing to give her the entire day. But, as the universe would have it, she was at work, and I had to sit and brood over my mishaps. I vowed to give my mom a piece of my mind as soon as she walked through that door. I walked over to the family computer and logged in. One of the perks of being one of the smart people is that online college classes are perfectly acceptable, and with that being said, I was able to learn human-free. I decided to put off the homework Miss Bulldog gave me, mainly because I didn't need anything to remotely remind me of that cursed woman. If that's what she was. He's referring to the fact that she's not a woman. I just realized that. And I'm the one who wrote this. I logged into the e-college. God damn. No, you... Ah, Chris. Ah, that was bad. That was just horrible. Out of everything that I could have put down, I had to write e-college. And that's the website that he's logging into. I'm mad at how unoriginal I was. It's okay. Fit's over. Alright, so, back to the story. I logged into e-college and was about to start the next chemistry lesson when my phone rang. Must be Mom, I mumbled as I rummaged through my backpack trying to find the ringing device. When I looked to see who was calling, I was surprised to find the caller ID was unknown. Stupid telemarketers. I hung up and turned my attention back to my computer. My phone rang. Slightly annoyed, I checked to see who it was. The same number appeared, so I hung up a second time. Then the home phone rang. Angrily, I huffed over to pick it up. "Who is this?" I snapped. "Hey, what's up?" "Oh no. Oh dear God, no." I couldn't believe this was happening. "James?" "Yep." "What? How did you get this number?" I stuttered. "Oh, yeah, about that. I was gonna tell you earlier, but I totally forgot." He laughed apologetically. "You see, our moms are co-workers, and yours mentioned that today would be your first day in hell. So, coincidentally, I happened to overhear my parents talking about the weather, and when you entered the..." "Oh, what?" Huh. I'm gonna read this again, because I think I totally butchered this up. "Remember, James is my favorite character. I cannot mess up his dialogue at all. Because for some reason, when I was writing his lines, it was like a literal, you know, literary epiphany had just like fired in my brain." "You see, our moms are co-workers, and yours mentioned that today would be your first day in hell. Coincidentally, I happened to overhear my parents talking about the weather, and when you entered the conversation, I confronted them. One thing led to the next. Your mom was able to provide the number, but I decided to wait until I met you before I called you." Okay, he's starting to not be my favorite character. It's kind of a dick move. Well, no. I mean, at least he waited to call. But I mean, I don't think the very first thing you should have done is just ask for the number directly. Oh well, that's fine. So, I couldn't really say anything. No amount of words could describe my horror. Not only had this annoying kid forced upon me... What? What was I trying to write here? I don't know. Not only had this annoying kid forced upon me... Oh. Okay, I think I was supposed to write forced himself upon me. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. Okay, so not only had this annoying kid forced himself upon me, my mom had also broken my trust. Well, I mean, it's already established, so I don't think that's too much of a shocker. Okay, so back to the story. Well, glad you called, I said through gritted teeth. But I'm a little busy right now, and I hope you have homework. Oh, and I'm sure you have homework that needs to be done. Au contraire! I've got nothing to do, which is precisely the reason why I'm calling you right now. Okay, yeah, this kid's still my favorite. What a lovely little bastard. Well, I'm really busy, so I can't talk. Maybe tomorrow... ... We both know you won't. So I'm going to talk now. I could hear the tone of his voice change dramatically. Listen, school sucks. It always has, and it always will. Lucky for me, I was able to fit in, and I've got a reputation going for me. Luckily, I had help, and I'm trying to do the same. You see, you may think you've got everything under control, but you don't. You've been out of the loop for a long time, my friend, and it's gonna be hard getting back in. This isn't something like the elementary school you left those many years ago. This is war, and you will fail. How does this kid even know that he was in elementary school? Unless, plot twist, ooh, new ideas are coming in. He was the kid that got punched. And when that happened, some brain cells probably connected, and now he's a little bit less annoying than when he was back in the fourth grade. So, he's saying, okay, however, this won't be the case if you let me be your guide through this grievous warfare, which is why you will meet me at the park on Maple Street at exactly 6 o'clock. No exceptions. This kind of hit me hard. I knew I wasn't a very pleasant person, and I knew I had a terrible social skills, but it's one thing to know, an entirely different thing to be told. So I didn't really say anything except, okay. And that's how I made plans to hang out with... Oh, and that's how I made plans to hang out for the first time. No, okay. Okay. So at this rate, his cocoon's been cracked. We can remember that from, like, last time, I think. And then this time, it's like, he's hanging out for the first time. It's like... And that's how I managed to bang a chick for the first time. Yeah, that's how I was able to smoke weed for the first time. I can just see it happening. It's like... And that was the first time I didn't pay child services. Well, no, it's support. Damn it, that joke was gonna land. It was gonna land, and it totally missed the mark. That was the first time I left my wife. Okay. That was the first time I beat my kid. Okay, we're done. We're done. We're taking it a little bit too far. Okay. Chapter 7. The next few hours were by far the longest I've ever had the pleasure to experience. I was going to hang out, a social convention I hadn't participated in years. and I barely knew how to say hi. A million thoughts ran through my head. What do I wear? What do I say? What do I do? What is hanging out? By the time 6 o'clock rolled around, Okay, I scratched out a lot, but some stuff I didn't scratch out, so now I have to decipher the whole thing. Okay, here we go, finally. Alright, so yeah. Yeah, I scratched it out on purpose. Nothing going wrong there. Okay. By the time 6 o'clock rolled around, I strongly considered faking a cold and putting a rain check on this hanging out James wanted to do. But then I realized even that wouldn't stop him, and I decided it kinda hurt to go. I slipped on my shoes, telling my mom I was going to take a walk. Honestly, I hadn't told my mom a thing. Not even the fact that I had made an acquaintance. Oh, I thought that was going to continue. Oh, yeah. All right, she said. Be back at 9. Be safe. Say your prayers. Red-faced, I mumbled an, okay, Mom. She didn't seem to understand that religion wasn't really my thing. For one thing, I believe in... How many things are in the sentence? There's, like, so many words. So many of the same word. Oh, man. Okay. Sorry. I'm just... Just ranting about, you guys know about the whole thing where it's like if you have too much of one word in the same sentence or like in the same couple of sentences, it totally ruins the mood. That's why I try to make it a point to kind of like give variety, but I guess I totally just was like, ah, fuck it, and I completely ignored that rule. So let's get through this. She didn't seem to understand that religion wasn't really my thing. For one thing, I believed in things that made sense, and religion didn't make the cut. And for another thing, being punished heavily for a few mistakes didn't seem fair. Not to mention the fact that a deity... I thought it said deity, then I was like, huh? Now I'm just making up words. Okay. Not to mention the fact that a deity knew your every move... Not to mention the fact that a deity knew your every move was a little creepy. With that in mind, I slipped outside. Okay, I don't... I could have totally just, like, taken out that entire portion about religion and the story would have still made sense. I didn't have to include anything to do with that. Like, maybe, like, during some sort of, like, existential crisis that he probably would have had later on in the story, or maybe during some, like, really, really critical point where somebody's getting hurt, or he finds himself maybe, I don't know, falling off a building. Maybe there could be some, like, internal dialogue, like, oh shit, should I pray? I don't know. I never really believed in God. That makes a lot more sense than just out of the blue being like, I don't believe in God. It doesn't make sense. I believe in things that make sense, and religion not a thing that makes sense. I'm disappointed in myself. Anyway, with that, back to the story. So, with this in mind, the fact that the whole religion thing in mind, I slipped outside into the cool, fresh autumn air. I walked for a while, somewhat aimlessly, trying to get my thoughts together. I realized that if I was going to hang out with this kid, I need all the sarcastic remarks and witty comebacks I could get. No. No, that's... James is more sarcastic than this little shit. So I finally headed to the park, which turned out to be a lot closer than I remembered. And there, sitting on the swings, was the devil himself. Oh my god, what? Of course the narrator would say that. Because I wrote him like a little douchebag. Oh, James sat there in his stupid costume. What? Huh? What? Oh. Oh, that's why. Oh. The setting is October. Oh, of course he was the devil himself. He's wearing fucking horns and a tail. I think he's wearing a tail, but I definitely know he's wearing horns. Oh, that's my mistake. I completely biffed that one. Alright. So James sat there in his stupid costume, and when I was close enough, he flashed that stupid smile of his. But I couldn't help but laugh. What the hell are you wearing? I said in between laughs. You said you're going to teach me how to survive in high school, not get myself killed. Exactly. That's why today's lesson is your first. You need to be ready for everything. Hence the outfit. His fake horns wobbled back and forth as he talked. You look hideous, I said, stifling a giggle. Kind of the point, he said. Now let's say you're out at a party and some guy shows up wearing this. What do you say? You look like a moron, I said flatly. Nope. That'll get you. No. Ryan wouldn't say that. Ryan wouldn't even do anything. He wouldn't even be at a party. That's what I should have wrote. It should have gone like, now let's say you're out at a party, and Ryan's like, let me stop you there. I wouldn't even be at a party. That's what should have done. And even if he was at a party, he wouldn't even gone up to the guy and said, hey, you look like a moron. He would have just been like, internalized it, and then just like reflected deeply upon it and tried to make some sort of metaphor for life about it while he's staring at the fucking swing set and his back porch. I hate this so much. Whatever. Okay, well, James says, nope, that'll get you punched, try again. Then Ryan replies, then I wouldn't say anything because that costume looks stupid on you and it sure as hell wouldn't look good on anyone else. James is like, that's better, but not quite. We'll come back to this question a different time. James paused a bit, sinking down further into the swing, as if he'd given up on something. I'm cutting the crap. For now, at least, he took off his horns. But I can tell we aren't getting anywhere, so I'm just going to start with some simple questions if you don't mind, he added. Dude, you're really confusing me, I said. This is all too random, and I'm having trouble keeping up with the point you're trying to make. If you're not going to tell me what's going on, then I'm going to go home and try to forget about all of this. I waved my hands in a wild gesture toward his getup. Oh, yeah, toward all this. And then he, like, points at his, you know, getup. But as far as I can tell... Oh, no, I was referring to an entire devil costume. He was just wearing horns. I mean, the horns was the descriptive thing that I... Never mind. I focused way too much on inferring things, and I confused myself. So, there it is. He perked up, pointing at me. There's your problem. As soon as there's something you don't like, whether it be about someone or something, you give up and try to forget about it. Ah, see? Okay, so James is just constantly climbing the ranks of best character that I've ever come up with in my entire life. So, you're too cynical and stuck up to see past what's happening on the outside. Sure, you're smart, probably more than the rest of us, but when it comes down to it, do you want to look back on your life and regret not having any friends? Would you want to know everything and have no one, or have someone and not know anything? this kind of hit me hard. Sure, I had thought about this before, but my answer had always been the former. However, in this moment, maybe it was the way he said it, or the fact that someone else was asking me, I realized that the latter didn't seem half bad. My whole life had been just me and my family, because I thought everyone was too stupid and irritating to be friends with. But now it looked like things needed to be different. And that's when the tsunami of feelings hit. Every horrible memory... Oh, isn't that nice? I spelled memory wrong. Oh, nice, with an IE at the end. Wonderful. Okay. Every horrible memory I had pushed away, every tear I had held back, every moment of joy I had discarded, every feeling of anger I had built up, came at me in a wave of emotion. So I did what any other person would do. I cried. First it was a tear. I touched my hand on my cheek in surprise. It came another, then another. My eyes followed the drops to the ground. Pretty soon, I couldn't stop. Streams of tears rolled down my face and ran down my neck, soaking my collar. Through blurred eyes, I looked up at James, who sat there dumbfounded. Not wanting to make a fool of myself, I tried to choke back sobs, but the more I tried to stop myself, the more the tears came. I was bawling. So you finally realized it, huh? James pushed himself off the swing and walked towards me with open arms. No, don't. But it was too late. Once, when I was a kid, I had wet myself in front of my whole kindergarten class. I felt so exposed, so humiliated. I wanted to disappear. Well, school the next day was comparable, as I... Okay. Oh, flashback time. Okay, I thought I was reading a different story. No, never mind. School the next day was comparable. As I walked down the halls, I was suddenly aware of myself. All my defenses that I had worked so hard to create were gone, and I was left with a feeling that man can only describe as naked and afraid. The faces that I would normally scrutinize were now hostile, and I jumped at every corner, and finding myself looking over my shoulder, not sure of what I would find. In hindsight, I'm pretty sure the kids thought I was on something. Once I found myself in the doghouse, I had reached almost... Oh, yeah, once I... Oh, okay, never mind. The doghouse is a metaphor, idiom, I think? I don't know. Once I found myself in the doghouse, I had reached my all-time low. I tapped my foot on the ground, anxious to get to lunch. There I could finally clear my head. Wait. Oh. What? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I don't know why I didn't understand this. Okay. So apparently the whole thing, the flashback was ended at disappear. And so it was like, well, school the next day. It's like the next day after the whole, like, hanging out with James. I really wish I had made the transition a little bit more smoother. So that way I wasn't, like, questioning, like, oh, shit. What the hell am I reading? Okay. So... Alright. So, he's waiting to get to lunch. Because he's on edge, because he's feeling emotions. Alright. Is everything alright, Mr. Matthews? A snide voice came from the front of the room. Yes, Miss Sherman, I replied. Then you have no problem answering the question on the board? Aw, man, not this again. I wasn't in the mood for my teacher's games. I glanced up at the board. Chlorine? That wiped the smirk off of the bulldog. Honestly, I had no idea why Miss Sherman had it out for me. I mean, what did I do to her? Frankly, this is borderline harassment, and it was getting old. Oh, we're getting a little bit meta here. Okay. Hey, are you alright? Autumn whispered from the seat next to mine. Great. Was it that obvious something was up? What would I tell her? Well, yeah, nothing's wrong. I just realized that there's more to life than me, and I'm feeling really emotional right now. And by the way, I think I'm falling in love with you, so, yeah. Wow. I took a mental step back for a bit. Love? Really? Wasn't that a little forward for a girl I hardly knew? Ryan? Oh yeah, she was talking to me. Oh yeah, I'm swell. Swell? Really? You could have said good. You could have said okay. But no, out of all the words in the English dictionary, swell was the first one that came to mind. She gave me a confused look. Okay, she said with a hint of a giggle. Gosh, she was hot. After watching Miss Sherman's jaw go up and down for a bit and just doodling in my notebook, a note landed on my desk. Trying to look discreet, I unfolded the piece of paper. It was written in bright pink, and there were eyes. Oh, and the eyes were dotted with hearts. Hey, you seem like a pretty cool person. So here's my number. And 40. I don't want to like read it. Cause I don't fucking know if it actually is somebody's number. So anyway, so it's on his number. That's what was on there. Yay, woohoo. Yeah. I held the note and just stared at it. This was gold. I never asked for a girl's number, let alone got one. And here it was, just inches from my face. But what did this mean? Was she into me? Was this her way of trying to get my attention? Or was she just making a casual friendship? You know, I'm going to go off on a limb and say that it was just a casual friendship. Well, but with that being said, that's all I have written. I wrote nothing else, apparently. So we're going to kind of leave off on a cliffhanger. Is Autumn going to finally fuck Ryan after the 7th chapter? Who knows? I honestly can't think of anything to say. It was fun to write it, but looking back on it, it seems like an absolute pile of shit. Which, I mean, honestly, it happens to the best of us. Especially aspiring authors. I'm pretty sure when they have skeletons in their closet, just piles and piles of notebooks filled with just absolute shitty writing that they don't want to ever see the light of day. But good, lucky for you guys, because I'm an open book. And I will share whatever I have on hand, just because I know it's not me anymore, and I think it's just fun to at least criticize the stuff that I tried to do back in the day. Yeah, especially if it wasn't really good. It's a bit of a learning experience, and so I think I'm gonna do this more often. It's kind of fun, actually, to read it out for people who I don't know. Anyway, I will see you guys later. Take care.